You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Why tonight we're starting this new series. It's only 2 weeks, tonight and next Wednesday, that we've called Mentally Prepared, Strengthening Our Faith for Difficult Times. Because we're talking about how do we prepare our faith before those times come. Not like when we're scrambling to try to build our faith during or in the middle of a storm, but how do we prepare for it? And we believe that this strengthening of our faith involves our minds in a really significant way. We're going to show this diagram on the screen. Some people call this the head, heart, hands illustration. And so much of what we learn about God's truth, we have to start in our minds. Like we have to choose to believe God's word is true in our minds. And then through the Holy Spirit, we pray that that truth sinks down into our hearts. And that we believe it in a deep and soul level. And what happens is that affects our hands. That affects how we live our lives and our behaviors. And so it's like through relying on the Holy Spirit, as we start in our minds that we believe God's word to be true, then he transforms us from the inside out. Amen? It's kind of like what James chapter 1 talks about. If you want to flip to the book of James, it's towards the end of your Bible in the New Testament. The book of James in chapter 1, starting in verse 22, says this: Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I love this picture that James gives us here of like somebody who reads God's word but doesn't practice it. Someone who reads God's word but doesn't choose to believe it in their minds and that affects their hearts and then what they do is like somebody who looks in the mirror and walks away and is like immediately forget what they look like. It's like getting dressed for the day and then checking the mirror before you go, as I know a lot of you do, before you go to school or you come to HSM, and then you like walk away and forget what you're wearing. Like that's what it's like to read God's word and not practice it. And so in order for God's truth to go from our head to our hearts to our hands, it involves something that we call conviction. Everybody say conviction. 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 And there are a few definitions for this word. You'll see them up here. Conviction is a legal term. It's a formal declaration that someone is guilty of a criminal offense. So maybe you've heard before, like, this person got convicted of so-and-so crime. But conviction is also a biblical term, and it refers to when a person sins and they are made aware of it by the Holy Spirit. So I've been in life groups with some of you where some of you leaders have said, God really convicted me this week because I've been gossiping about one of my friends, and he helped me pray and confess and repent it and try to move away from that. But conviction is also a deeply or firmly held belief. Maybe in some of your classes you've heard someone say, that person spoke with conviction. And that kind of suggests like that person spoke with certainty, with confidence. And that third type of conviction, a deeply or firmly held belief, is what we're talking about now. It's the kind of belief that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to flip left from the book of James, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is in the middle of preaching one of his most famous sermons. And so imagine he's surrounded by his disciples and people who are getting to know who he is, and he's teaching them practically what it looks like to honor God in their lives. And in the middle of it, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Jesus speaks this parable, this illustration of two different men. They both faced storms. They both faced struggles in their lives. That wasn't a question. But the difference was the foolish man did not put into practice God's word while the wise man did. He built his life, just like we sang about a few minutes ago, on the firm foundation of God's love. And his house stood. So here is like the big application of all of this, is that we should also be like the wise man who built his life on the rock, on the firm foundation of God and his word. And because of that, we should develop convictions. I think we have a slide for that. We also should develop convictions or deeply or firmly held beliefs. Maybe another way to think about it is we should develop our own personal why statements for why we follow Jesus and why we do what we do in order to connect with him. Why we believe who God is and why we follow him. Developing convictions like this is one way that we can become like that James 1 person who doesn't just hear the word, but also does the word. It's also a way that we can be like the wise man in Matthew chapter 7 who built his house on solid rock. And so you can develop convictions or why statements for things like reading the Bible or praying or investing in Christian community. Like showing up and really showing up, not just physically, but also with your mind and your heart and your soul here at HSM. And you can develop why statements for sharing your faith, sharing who Jesus is with other people. And what's also great is even if you're not following Jesus yet, you can still make these why statements. If you're not following Jesus yet, we're so glad that you're here. We talk about that often here. And maybe you're skeptical about the Bible, or you doubt that it's true. And if that's the case, I would encourage you, the same thing that I've encouraged all of you as an HSM family over the last several months, is read your Bible. Because especially if you ever get skeptical or uncertain about the Bible and if it really is reliable, then you should probably read it so that you can thoroughly go through it before you decide whether or not it's true. And so your why statement might look like, I will read my Bible every day so that I can discover who God says he is. And then I can decide if I believe it to be true. And there are lots of reasons why I think convictions are really helpful for the Christian life. Because convictions are sort of like an anchor that keeps our boat like stable in one place, no matter how strong the waves are. Convictions are also like a stake in the ground. Like they give us direction. It's kind of like a North Star in a way. And I want to give you one example of how I think this could be helpful for us as an HSM family. So as I shared, there's a lot of different like practices that we can develop conviction statements for. But if you look at your sermon notes, you'll notice they're a little different. There's a section that I encourage you not to fill out until you get to Life Group. And we're just going to focus on one practice this week, and that is reading God's word every day. Because as Gavin and I have shared, that's our heart and vision and prayer for us as an HSM family, that we would become students and leaders who thirst for God's word and prioritize reading it every day. And if we have a good conviction statement for why we would do that, then here's what happens. When we open up God's word, and we're really excited about connecting with God and reading it, but then we get to a passage and we're like, oh, this is actually kind of boring. Or we open God's word and we're really excited, and then we're like, I'm very confused. Like, what's going on here? I have a lot of questions. Sometimes when we face those like instances, it's really easy to listen to our feelings. Like, our emotions are really powerful, and we can just say, you know what? This is boring. I don't need to read God's word today. Like, if we don't have a good reason for why we should be reading God's word, we're going to be easily swayed by our feelings. But if you've developed convictions before those times come, you're more likely to stay dedicated to still reading because it's your deeply and firmly held belief. And I found this to be true in my own life, that I believe I have a conviction to read God's word every day because it helps connect me to Jesus. And because that is my conviction, in some of the most difficult times in my life, I've been in so much pain that I hardly want to turn to God. And yet, I have these convictions that, okay, even if I face something really difficult, I believe God is good, that he can use all things and wants to use all things for my good and his glory, and that it's still essential that I read God's word every day because it connects me to him. So I think back to a few years ago when COVID hit. I was a senior in college, and unexpectedly, I needed to move like back home, so 2 hours away. I didn't get to see my friends who we all graduated with together, and I didn't know if I was gonna have a job. Like, I didn't know how I was gonna make money, and I was in this like really sad state, honestly. And I know I walked through that time with a lot of you students that maybe you could relate to that as well. And I was feeling like, God, what are you doing? Like, I'm honestly, I know that you're good, but it's kind of hard to see right now. But because I had those convictions, every morning when I would wake up, I would still, with like sleepy eyes and like a broken heart, I would just like roll over and reach for my Bible. Because even though I didn't feel like it was gonna be good for me, I had the conviction that it was gonna be good for me. Because that's what God's word said. And I would open my Bible and I couldn't go past the Psalms. Like, it would just open to a Psalm. I would find myself soaking it up and praying it. And at that time, I could still go to God and his word because I had a conviction that these were the words of life, that they nourished me, that I needed them even when I didn't feel like it. And students, I believe that you need to develop convictions and commit to them now for your relationship with Jesus so that you are prepared for those times. I was talking to Anna, who's our awesome HSM intern. She helped brainstorm this series with me, and she shared with me that when she was in high school, she ran cross country, and her cross country coach said, it takes only 2 weeks to get out of running shape and 3 weeks to get back into running shape. I know we got some runners. Sarah Thomas was like, oh yeah, that's so true. That it doesn't take that long to like get out of a habit, but it is a lot harder to get back into it once you've fallen out of it. And I think something is really similar when it comes to us with the Lord. It's hard starting a new habit or practice, but it's much easier than going back to that habit that you've neglected. So pray to God for his strength to dedicate yourself to one of your convictions this week. Let's start with reading God's word every day. And once the Lord develops that practice in you, then you can focus on another conviction. And one way that you can measure like the depth or the strength of your convictions is through your actions. We talked about that with the head and the hand, the head, the heart, the hands. Is your actions should reflect your convictions. So if your actions don't consistently align with your convictions, then it's likely that you need to go back to your convictions, that they're not deeply held enough. If you think you have a conviction to read God's word every day, but it's more like you read every 2 weeks, then you might want to go back to why you make that a priority. Do you really believe that the Bible is God's perfect word? And do you believe that you need God's word to live? Because if that is your deeply held belief, that's likely going to help you turn to his word every single day. But if you're overwhelmed with like, okay, I've been trying, Pastor Claire, to read my word every day, and I just like can't get there. It's a struggle. The good news is that our actions can help deepen our convictions and vice versa. Going back to the running example, you're not going to get into running shape if you never run. And you won't get into a habit of reading God's word every day if you don't open up the word. And as you open the word more and more, I believe that through the Holy Spirit, through this word that is living and active, you'll see the goodness of it and have a deeper conviction to read it every day. And another test that you can use to kind of evaluate your convictions is that they should be able to stand even when you're in the middle of a storm. If you think God is good, but the moment you fail a test or your family fights at home or someone you love gets into a car accident, then you automatically believe God is bad, then we need to go back to our convictions and see how deeply held they are. And I'm not saying you can't ever doubt God's goodness, like that is real. But what I am saying is that you may face a situation where you doubt God's goodness, and maybe for good reasons, but a deeply held conviction will help get us to a place where we say, God, this situation is really hard right now, and it's hard to see your goodness. But I trust that you're still good. That is conviction. And so here's what we're gonna do in just a few minutes. In your life groups, you are going to write, you're gonna work on writing your own conviction statements. But before we do that, we're going to start by reflecting and praying through like where to come up with those convictions. And you'll see that on your seats, there's a Bible reading plan for this week. So if you're trying to read God's word every day, one of the best things you can do is have a plan. Because sometimes we don't open up the word because we're overwhelmed on where to start. Here's a starting point for you. And the back has scripture references for what the word says are qualities of God and the importance of God's word. And what we and your life group leaders want you to do is through your own experiences and through what God says in his word, use those to help you write your conviction statements. And in order to prepare to do this, we're going to listen to a worship song together, and all the lyrics are going to be on the screen. And what I would encourage you to do, how I would challenge us to worship over the next few minutes, is to pray through these lyrics and ask God, like do an honest evaluation of, is my faith like this? Does my faith look like this? Do I have the convictions to worship God even when it hurts? Because some of us, and a lot of times I'm in this category, some of us are all in about following Jesus until things get difficult. And like at the first temptation or the first insecurity or struggle, we abandon our faith. And that is not dedicated faith. That's not a faith with deep anchoring convictions. That's a faith when it's convenient or it's easy. We, with the Holy Spirit, need to decide now that we will keep praising God even when it hurts. So over the next few minutes, this song is going to play. Would you really listen to the lyrics and work on asking God together, does my faith and do my convictions look like this? Let's worship together. We're going to head into some really powerful life group times. So would you bow your heads together and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. And even when it's hard for us to feel that or believe that, Jesus, I pray that you would help us develop that conviction to trust in your goodness, even when it's hard. And Lord, right now, I know there are many students and leaders who are in the middle of a storm. And Jesus, I pray that in the midst of that difficulty, in a powerful way, would you reveal your goodness to them? God, use our life groups as a sweet community to support each other in the difficult things we're walking through. And Jesus, for those of us who are not in a storm at the moment, Jesus, would you, through your goodness, help us to be prepared for the difficult times to come, that we might walk through those, building our lives on the firm foundation that is your perfect and unfailing love. We love you so, so much, Jesus. You are so worthy of our praise. So we lift all of this up to you, all of our hearts of worship. And we pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.